Rav Shonman
and Maya Shon, coming to you Tuesday, March 16th, 2004. From 9-11 to 3-11 is the headline of the March 22nd edition of Newsweek. 911 days since September 11th, 2001. Coordinated bomb attacks in Spain, notes Newsweek, kill 200 people on passenger trains and raise new fears of Qaeda-style terror assaults. On Thursday, March 11th, 10 coordinated cell phone-issued detonations shocked, rocked Spain, as commuter trains were blasted and 1,500 people wounded, 201 people killed. At first, the Spanish officials blamed the ETA, the Basque Separatist Movement, but within days they had arrested Moroccans and Indians and claimed there was a link to Al-Qaeda. Operation Masquerade, the bombings in Madrid. Ralph?
It wasn't long before the tentative claims that ETA, the Basque Separatist Movement, was involved in the bombings, that the evidence began to be planted and orchestrated with respect to the direct role of Al-Qaeda, but with a particular slant. 15th of March 2004, The Independent. Madrid bomb suspects are linked to attacks on the Twin Towers. The two Moroccan suspects detained by Spanish police in connection with the Madrid train blast were already known to the authorities in connection with the 11th of September attacks in 2001. Mohamed Chawi, 34, and Zamal Zugam, 30, were among the men detained on Saturday in connection with the bombings that killed 200 people. They were linked to the Spanish Al-Qaeda cell involved in the U.S. attacks of 9/11/2001. John Charles Brizard, investigator hired by relatives of victims of the World Trade Center, stated that Mr. Chawi's name has appeared in transcripts of conversations between members of a Spanish Al-Qaeda cell. What's interesting about this is they are now attempting to associate this Mr. Zugam and Chawi and a third Moroccan named Mohamed Bakali with a particular figure, namely Mr. Yarkas, who was a subject of a trial in Spain on December 1st, 2001. As the article continues, the investigation of the eight men alleged to be members of Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda network could last more than a year, and this is referring to the trial in December of 2001. Indeed, they are referring to 100 boxes of evidence that were in the hands, supposedly, of the Spanish authorities in relation to a figure named Yarkas, who was the mastermind linked to none other than Mohammed Atta in relation both to Mr. Chawi and Mr. Zugam.
Ralph, on the March 15th issue of the New York Times, Moroccan suspect has ties to 9/11 figure files show, an article by Tim Goldman also refers to this trial. It says, in a 692-page indictment issued last fall against Mr. bin Laden and 34 of his reputed followers by the Spanish judge Baltazar Garzon, Mr. Zugam is described as a friend of Imad Eddin Barakat Yarkas, or Abu Dada, the suspected leader of a busy Qaeda cell based in Spain. The indictment also includes evidence showing that Mr. Zugam had been in contact with several of Mr. Yarkas' associates since at least 2001. Judge Garzon has asserted that Mr. Yarkas helped arrange an important preparatory meeting for the September 11th hijackers and provided them with support.
Not only that, Maya, but the claim that is being put forward is that the eight men led by Imad Ibn Barakat Yarkas, or Abu Dada, was associated with none other than Muhammad Atta, and that Yarkas's Madrid phone numbers were in the address book of Muhammad Atta, and Atta, who was Yarkas's roommate in Hamburg, is believed to have been one of the leaders of the September 11th hijackings that killed thousands of people. In other words, now we have an orchestrated attempt to associate the bombings in Madrid directly with Muhammad Atta and his supposed lieutenant and roommate in Madrid, Yarkas, who is running the two figures who have been arrested. But what's instructive about this is that at the trial at Madrid, all the figures had to be released because the United States would not provide so-called evidence from men they had under detention, and the Spanish authorities were obligated to release them, although they were keeping them under constant surveillance. So now we have it. None other than Yarkas and Muhammad Atta, but their close associates are the supposed authors of the events in Madrid, people who are under constant and nonstop surveillance since the September 11th events of 2001 in Spain, but who move at will, who arrange bombings of this magnitude, and the authorities are somehow not aware of it.
Well, let's look... go back a little and look at the first moments after the bombing, because you had this bombing taking place on the eve of an election in Spain, and the Popular Party, the PP, of José María Aznar was expected to have a victory. And immediately what happened, although Aznar wasn't running, he had his hand-picked successor who was running as president. And the outgoing president himself, immediately, this is Aznar, immediately after the bombing, phoned round to the editors of the four national daily newspapers, who dutifully responded to his calls by printing special editions that reported just what he had told them, that the ETA was responsible. In fact, Foreign Minister Ana Palacio of Spain instructed her ambassadors in a note that was sent out on Thursday afternoon, quote, "You should take every opportunity to confirm ETA's responsibility in these brutal attacks." So then we have everyone, including the ETA, saying that they were not responsible and the attacks did not follow any of the prior events for which the ETA had taken responsibility over the years. So we have on Saturday, March 13th, in an article reported in the Asian News, witness says he saw Madrid train attackers. A man presented by Spanish television as a witness, and his name was Luis Garrido, and he's a doorman at an apartment building in the Alcalá district, Alcalá de Henares, the district where the trains had been exploded, where the bombings had taken place. And he led the police to a suspicious van after the bombings, and said he saw three men wearing balaclavas near the vehicle shortly before the powerful blast ripped through the suburban trains. And he said why were they wearing this winter gear, even though the temperatures were mild on Thursday on Thursday morning when the attacks had taken place. The Interior Minister of Spain, Ángel Acebes, said Thursday that the van, which had been reported stolen, had contained books with verses in Arabic, quote, usually used to teach the Quran, although they didn't have any threats. And it was from this van that they concluded that they should arrest the Moroccans, because in addition to the van, they found within a rucksack that had been in the police headquarters a cell phone that went off at 7:30 p.m. while the others, the bombs had gone off at a.m., and when they went and they found the phone card that was inside the cell phone, it linked them to a cell phone store which was connected to the Moroccans. Ralph.
Maya, let's look at this carefully. Think of what we're being presented with here. Mohammed Atta, who, as you are, our listeners are well aware, was not only trained at U.S. military installations, but as Newsweek reported at great length after the events of 2001, was on the telephone with his father the day after on September 12th. Mohammed Atta, who was based in Hamburg, supposedly coordinating from Hamburg and then Venice, Florida, the events of 2001, now we are told is an operative in charge of events in Spain. Listen carefully. Madrid, Spain. One of the three Moroccans arrested in the Madrid train bombings was linked to the man jailed in Spain for helping plan the September 11th attack in the United States, according to court documents reviewed by the Associated Press. It was later stated that Osama bin Laden was involved in the bombings. It goes further. Not only are we now being told that Yarkas and Mohammed Atta are the masterminds of the events of 2001 at the World Trade Center, but their close associates are the authors of the Madrid bombings of March 11th. But beyond that, the Associated Press informs us, on September 17th, 2003, Jamal Zugam, a follower of Imad Yarkas, was jailed for planning the September 11th, 2001 attacks on New York and Washington, and who the very figure who has been arrested in the Madrid bombings, Yarkas, who used the alias Abu Dada, remains in Spanish custody. Zugam was one of thousands of Moroccans under permanent surveillance by the authorities after May, when they were associated with the bombings in the coastal city of Casablanca that killed 33 people and 12 bombers. Let's look at this again. 2001 in the United States, a trial in Spain, they're released but kept under constant surveillance. But the surveillance doesn't stop them from carrying out a presumptive Al-Qaeda operation in the coastal city of Casablanca in Morocco that kills 33 people. And now, of course, not only having been associated them with the bombings in Casablanca, European intelligence agencies working Sunday to identify the purported Al-Qaeda operatives state that a videotape of the terror group that bombed the trains in Madrid was found in a trash can near the largest mosque in Madrid on the eve of Spain's general elections. Constant surveillance by the intelligence authorities, two trials, two indictments, 9/11 in the United States, Casablanca, and now the Madrid bombings, the Mohammed Atta, Al-Qaeda, Yarkas, Zugan, all the same bunch under non-stop surveillance by the authorities, but free to bomb at will without any interference or apparent ability to anticipate the events.
Ralph, let's go to an article and goes into much more detail that was in The Independent. And we're going to refer to many of the British publications because over the years they've done remarkable reporting about events in Europe linked to so-called terrorism. Now, this Independent article from March 14th by Raymond Whittaker, Paul Lashmar, and Julian van Repert Bismarck. It goes into detail about the mobile, the cell phone, the rucksack, and the supposed Moroccan link. Now, the backpack that I mentioned that had been found in the police station that supposedly had been ignored and contained, as well as the cell phone and unexploded bomb. The backpack contained 10 kilograms of Goma-2 ECO, which is a high-potent military explosive. Note that this is a military explosive that has the consistency of chewing gum, as well as shrapnel to make the explosion more lethal, a copper detonator, and the mobile phone. Now, this is the cheap Truem phone and the phone card that linked the explosions to the supposedly to the Moroccans. There had been 10 other bombs, supposedly like the one that was in this rucksack, that exploded on the packed commuter trains on Thursday. Now, unlike the others, according to the Independent, this rucksack was not left in the train, but was at the El Pozo station, which was the destination of one of the trains that was blown apart Thursday morning. And it was not discovered, as I mentioned before, until Thursday night or the early hours of Friday. Explosive experts took the bag to the Vallecas police station in the southwest of the Spanish capital, where all the officers and inmates of the cells were evacuated, and at 5 a.m. on Friday, they, quote, gingerly opened the backpack, and they called this the 13th backpack, and this is how they link it to Al-Qaeda. Now, again, I mentioned Luis Garrido. Garrido says he actually even followed the three men because he thought they might be bank robbers. And the tape that was in the Renault that he pointed to, the white abandoned Renault, and it had this Arabic tape that contained the verses of the Quran, it, according to a Spanish minister, one of the authorities, he said that the tape was in beginner's Arabic. Now, let us consider that these Moroccans, they wouldn't be speaking beginner's Arabic. So, according to the Spanish authorities themselves, as the Independent reports, the van might have been planted to direct suspicion towards the Islamicist groups. In other words, that this is at the time when Spain was still saying that it was the ETA. At that time, the Spanish authorities were saying that this very van with this beginner's Arabic tape was probably not part of the operation. Ralph?
Well, it's very interesting to observe here. Once again, I emphasize and remind our listeners what we are being told by the authorities. We will come to amplify and explain the nature of a false flag operation from the beginning of our broadcasting about these putative terrorist events. The false flag operations of intelligence agencies are transparent in every aspect of this. Nowhere is it more apparent than in the bombings in Madrid. Nowhere is it more transparent that the figures who are now being held responsible for these events are people who they had on trial, I repeat, had on trial in 2001, imputing to them responsibility with Mohammed Atta for 9/11 itself, and then again on trial in relation to the Moroccan bombings.
Ralph, we should also note that they're not charged with anything. They're being held at the moment.
But Maya, let me make a point about this. You mentioned the beginner's Arabic and the absurd tape that was left in a trash can outside the largest mosque. Listen to what it contains. "You love life and we love death," said the man on the tape, who wore Arab dress and spoke Arabic with a Moroccan accent.
You're referring to the videotape that was found in the basket as opposed to the audio tape.
Yes.
That was found in the Renault.
Yes, exactly, in the trash can. "You love life and we love death." Yes, exactly the sort of thing you would expect, of course, from a political group seeking to explicate its political actions. "You love life and we love death." Listen to the actual interview, the only authentic interview, as opposed to the scissors and paste tapes and fabricated Central Intelligence Agency videos that have been released every time that the United States is planning some major event, imputing to Al-Qaeda or bin Laden responsibility for this or that. "Al-Qaeda is not involved, said Osama bin Laden. And here is an extended interview given to Umat Group of Publications. We've referred to it before. It has been cited in detail on the BBC. I am thankful to the Umat Group of Publications for giving me the opportunity to convey my real viewpoint to the people, particularly the valiant and true Muslim people. As a Muslim, I try my best to avoid telling lies. I had no knowledge of the attacks of September 11th, nor do I consider the killing of innocent women and children and other humans an appreciable act. Islam strictly forbids causing harm to innocent women, children, people, and civilians. Such a practice is forbidden to us, even in the course of battle. It is the rulers of the United States which are perpetrating every maltreatment of women, children, and common people of other faiths across the world. The United States and its rulers do not have friends among the people of the world. They are countries which do not agree to become slaves. Whoever committed the act of September 11th is not the friend of the American people. I stated and I stated again, we are against the American system. We are not against its people. We reject attacks on the common people anywhere. According to my information, the United States should look within itself for the perpetrators of these attacks. They are people who are part of the United States system. And the interview goes on. This is a detailed political analysis by the actual Osama bin Laden. It is not a figure who puts out a statement, we love death and you love life, as a political rationale for an act by people who are claimed to have been under custody and constant surveillance by the authorities themselves from 9/11 to 3/11/2004.
Ralph, aside from the videotape by supposedly Abu Dujan al-Afghani, a supposed military spokesman for al-Qaeda in Europe, there was another message. Now, by another supposed group of al-Qaeda that was also claiming responsibility, and that took place the very night of the bombings on the 10 bombings on the commuter trains in Spain in the El Pozo stations of Madrid, the commuter stations. On Thursday night, the London-based daily Al-Quds Al-Arabi received an email from yet another group claiming authorship, and this was the Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigades, and it's named for an al-Qaeda leader who was killed in the U.S. missile attack in Afghanistan, an al-Qaeda leader whose daughter was married to one of Osama bin Laden's sons. And the message said that one of its death squads had planted the bombs, quote, to settle old accounts with Spain, America's ally in its war against Islam. The interesting part of it is the last paragraph. Now, remember, we have two distinct claims by two different groups that are being put forward by U.S. and Spanish authorities as claiming responsibilities for this attack after they couldn't find any relationship for the ETA. And this is the last paragraph. Quote, we would like to announce to all Muslims in the world that 90% of the preparations of Operation Wind of Black Death, designed to be performed in America, has finished and will be performed soon, God willing, at the Mujahideen's convenience. Believers will celebrate the victory of God. Warning to the nation, avoid being close to the civil and military installations of America and its ally. The Wind of Black Death, stating that what was taking place in Spain, in Europe, and there were events also in Turkey and events elsewhere. If you recall that in France, although there was no, the French government made no link to al-Qaeda, there were also threats to the railway stations and the railway tracks, and 20,000 miles of tracks in France were inspected. So here we have, with one of the claims of a supposed al-Qaeda group, that now there will be the Wind of Black Death, biological terror throughout the world, particularly targeting the United States. Ralph, let's go and discuss this.
Well, before I come to that, Maya, because it's a critical point about the Black Death and the biological warfare, because that is precisely what Tommy Franks had orchestrated in his Cigar Aficionado article, and what William Sapphire and William Rothkopf in the Washington Post, at the time they were testing the waters for military rule in America, had advanced. Massive biological and nuclear attacks on the United States precipitated by an attack in Europe. But before we do that, let me cite a particularly revealing article in the Sunday Times, the Straits Times, in Singapore. Who's to Blame? Al-Qaeda, by Shefali Rekhi. Spain has been the center of al-Qaeda activity. It is teeming with hundreds of Osama bin Laden authorities, supporters, excuse me. The Spanish authorities have been hunting the al-Qaeda cells involved in the September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States. The network was never disrupted. Hundreds of Osama bin Laden supporters have been still active in Spain. Terrorism specialist Rohan Gunaratna confirmed to the Straits Times. Terrorism Outlook for 2004 released in Singapore earlier this year, he confirmed that terrorism experts had already understood that Europe would be the next theater of an attack because of the complacency that had set in, and the center would be Spain. The Egyptian ringleader of the United States attacks, Mohammed Atta, was the planner for the session for the 9/11 attacks on the Spanish Gold Coast of Tarragona, and a 700-page report, the result of years of wiretapping, confirms that Mohammed Atta and al-Qaeda have been orchestrating the plans for an attack on Spain as they did from Spain upon the United States. What is the genesis of this particular scenario? Dr. Boaz Ganor, the executive director of the International Policy Institute for Counterterrorism in Herzliya, Israel, of the Mossad. Spain, the weak spot. Al-Qaeda looking for the soft belly and weak spot. The sleeper cells to spread within the country in preparation for the attacks within Spain. Dr. Boaz Ganor confirmed to the Straits Times. The Mossad has been orchestrating the cover story, the fictive story about Mohammed Atta, Yarkas, and al-Qaeda, and Osama bin Laden in relation to Spain as a continuity with the attacks both on 9/11 in 2001 in the United States and the Casablanca attacks.
Ralph, now that you bring up the Mossad, we must look at the DEPCA articles that have appeared over the last months, beginning prior to New Year's Eve, when they were warning that al-Qaeda was threatening to nuke New York on February 2nd. That was the DEPCA of December 31st, 2003.
DEPCA indeed, but I want to, because DEPCA is also involved in orchestrating the Black Wind of Death, and we should continue with what you had mentioned about the Black Wind. Here is the Evening Times in London. The group responsible for the Madrid train massacre is preparing to attack America and is on the verge of another deadly terror attack. A warning sent to the London-based Arabic newspaper Al-Quds by the Brigade of Abu Hafs al-Masri prepares the Black Death, a biological attack that will hit the United States and is 90% ready, as confirmed by the Israeli Intelligence Service's publication DEPCA.
Ralph, that was the last paragraph of the message, the email message to Al-Quds al-Arabi, and you bringing that up, let's go to DEPCA, where on February 25th, DEPCA Weekly, the Israeli intelligence magazine that's on the internet at www.depka.com, Al-Qaeda builds a Euro army. Warning of Al-Qaeda's continuing threat came Tuesday, February 24th, from Washington and London, as in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. CIA Director George Tenet spoke of the spread of al-Qaeda's radical agenda to local groups who now threaten the United States and are capable of 9/11 scale attacks. British Interior Minister David Blunkett announced new stringent measures to combat terror and said that a terrorist attack on Britain was inevitable. Now, what they're talking about is Ayman al-Zahiri and his saying that his group was still after, quote, crusader blood, with two recorded audio tapes that went to Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya. Now, what DEPCA concludes is that throughout Europe, al-Qaeda was building a Euro army. In France, that al-Qaeda had recruited 35,000 to 40,000 men into military-style units that meet regularly for training in the use of weapons, explosives, combat tactics, indoctrination, and are controlled from local and district command centers under the organization's National French Command. In Germany, Depka concludes, Al-Qaeda has recruited 25,000 to 30,000 men, and that British domestic intelligence, MI5, estimates 10,000 have joined up in Britain. And in Italy, they say Al-Qaeda is less active, but still active, but they don't have to be very active in Italy because next door, according to Depka, in the Balkan states of Albania, Kosovo, and Macedonia, Al-Qaeda is storing its weapons, its money, it creates false documents, and that it moves from these Balkan states into the rest of Europe. What's particularly interesting about this disinformation from Depka is that it states that the new organization for the Euro Army is not based in the mosques, the Islamic culture centers, or the Muslim immigrant neighborhoods. Quote, instead, native Europeans freshly converted to Islam are targeted. The new campaign is styled the White Recruitment Drive or Coffee Shop Conscription. The operational cells and recruiting agents patronize ordinary cafes on the high streets of Europe's major cities where they blend into the crowd. And then they build these cells of 30 to 40 men. They're placed under social activities such as holiday camps in remote parts of Europe. And that this is the White Recruitment Drive, creating a sense of terror and fear throughout Europe. That is what Depka is saying. And then it asks on March 13th, who's next after Madrid? You are listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the Internet at www.wbai.org. Our program today, Operation Masquerade, the bombings in Madrid. Ralph?
Think carefully about what you've just heard, as Maya has outlined from Depka. Sleepers. 10 to 15,000 in Great Britain, 20 to 30,000 in France, equivalent numbers in Spain and in Germany. Not just Arabs, mind you, but white sleepers in conjunction with Al-Qaeda and Arabs. We have tens of thousands of operatives across Europe now, according to Depka, preparing for the next terror attacks on behalf of Al-Qaeda. Think about the scenario that's being outlined here, brothers and sisters. This is the false flag operation of Israeli intelligence, the Mossad, and their masters in the Central Intelligence Agency. Consider Depka on May 18th, 2003. Al-Qaeda, grim cat's cradle, it is just the beginning. And here in Depka's article on May 18th, 2003, they cite the bombings in Casablanca as just the beginning of prepared attacks across Europe and notably in Spain. And I would cite once again, as we have at the beginning of this program, that the people who are supposed to have been responsible for the events in Casablanca in May of 2003, where the very people who are now being charged as responsible for the bombings of Madrid on March 11th, 2004, the very people who are supposed to have been the cohorts of Mohammed Atta and of Yarkas, the indicted one in Madrid, Depka coordinating the cover story for the intelligence operation of March 11th, 2004, in Madrid.
Ralph, I'd like to cite here the Tommy Franks, the former head of CENTCOM, the man who was in charge of the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, his statement to Cigar Aficionado in his 25-26 page interview that we used extensively in testing the waters, which, by the way, is still available as a WBAI premium from the internet site, www.wbai.org. Tommy Franks stated that the Terrorists, quote, terrorists, or any human being who is committed to the proposition of terror. Now, mind you, he's not talking about official state terror, the terror of the United States and the other imperial powers, the major terror prevalent in the world. But what he terms as terrorists, they, try to just create casualties, not for the purpose of annihilation, but to terrify a population. Then he goes on. It means that the potential of a weapon of mass destruction and a terrorist massive casualty-producing event somewhere in the Western world, it may be in the United States of America, it would cause our population to question our own constitution and to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty event, which, in fact, then begins to potentially unravel the fabric of our Constitution. What our show had been is testing the waters, military rule in America, and more, as you see across Europe and across the United States, with now increased security in trains, as well as in airports and at ports, you have the militarization of everyday life. And as David Rothkopf had noted November 23, 2003, in the Washington Post, Terrorist Logic Disrupt the 2004 Election. He had pointed out that in many elections, such as Israel in 1996, where Shimon Peres of the Labor Party had a 30-point lead over Benjamin Netanyahu, there had been bombings which had claimed 60 lives in 4 weeks. And as Peres was seen as a, quote, more conciliatory candidate, Netanyahu won. Now, the same thing had happened with Vladimir Putin and his strong stance against the Chechens, and that was credited for his winning the presidential election in 2000. And in Turkey in 1999, Bülent Ecevit had cited violence and the threat of unrest in Turkey and launched a very strong campaign, and that was used for his election victory. And in Sri Lanka with Chandranayake Kumaratunga, she had a stance against the Tamils, and that was important in her election victory. And this is what was expected for the PP as well. Ralph?
Well, that indeed it begins to elucidate and illuminate what we are really dealing with here. Because as you cite, Maya, the terrorist logic disrupt the 2004 election, writes David Rothkopf in the Washington Post. And he states the recent bombings in Istanbul and in other countries are related to canceling elections. Recently, I co-chaired a meeting hosted by CNBC of over 200 senior business and government executives, specialists in security and terrorism-related issues. Three-quarters of them stated the United States would see a major terrorist strike before the end of 2004. A similar number, three-quarters, predicted this assault will be greater than those of 9/11 and will involve weapons of mass destruction. This theme is again orchestrated. William Sapphire in the New York Times on December 30th, a new 9/11 to cancel the 2004 elections, wrote William Sapphire. And indeed, in the article by Sapphire, he says this is not a question but if but when. He is preparing the public for the cancellation of the elections in the United States and for a terrorist attack in relation to that. Let us come back to DEPCA's Who's Next After Madrid. DEPCA, the Israeli intelligence operation that has been the orchestrator of the theme of al-Qaeda responsibility for false flag operations of the Mossad and the CIA itself. The security stepped up in France, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Poland, and Britain are preparing for al-Qaeda's next onslaught. Next. 90% preparation already in place for a major attack on the United States. DEPCA to follow the events in Madrid. Next, Madrid outrages ignore al-Qaeda's operational roots in Spain and its preparation for next targets in Italy, Britain, and the United States of a similar nature. Al-Qaeda prepared for by the Mossad, articulated in Debka's orchestrated predictions, which are more than predictions. They're testing the waters. They're preparing us for their own state terror against the populations of each country concerned.
Ralph, we should note that in Spain, while the Socialist Workers' Party became victorious as the Spanish population concluded that the PP was not addressing the issues of the bombing and was responsible, in their eyes, because of the Spain's involvement in sending troops to Iraq, José Luis Rodrigo Zapatero, the leader of the Socialist Workers' Party, and the who had defeated the Prime Minister, José María Aznar's conservatives, on Sunday, he announced that he was going to increase within Spain the moves against so-called terrorists. But I want to spend the rest of the time of today's Taking Aim looking at the Operation Masquerade. We've been discussing the supposed links to Osama bin Laden, the supposed links to Al-Qaeda. With the events of March 11th, 2004, that killed so many people in Madrid and wounded 1,500 people more, it harks back to an event that took place in Italy 24 years ago, on August 2nd, 1980. And at that time, bombs exploded in Bologna at a railway station, and 85 people were killed. And what happened now is that a few years ago in Yugo Info, an Italian newspaper, they revealed that the attack at the Bologna railway station was perpetrated by CIA-controlled, that's the U.S., CIA-controlled secret Italian services who had been working with a right-wing Italian group. And the story is much deeper. In 2000, a 300-page report that had been prepared by the formerly communist LDP, which is the biggest party of Guillermo Armada's center-left government, had stated that the United States was responsible for inspiring, quote, a strategy of tension, what we call the category of terror, and they termed the strategy of tension, in which indiscriminate bombings of the public and the threat of a right-wing coup were used to stabilize a center-right political control of Italy. Now, this goes back all the way to the end of World War II. And it was a strategy that was crafted by none other than the first CIA director, Alan Dulles, and was involved with all the CIA directors that followed, including George Bush Sr., who later became president, and it also included the prime ministers of the European countries. He states in this LDP report that those who carried out the attacks were rarely caught, and the reason was, quote, that the massacres, the bombs, and the military actions had been organized or promoted or supported by men inside Italian state institutions and by men linked to the structures of United States intelligence, end quote. Volta Bielli, a left Democrat member of parliament and one of the authors of the report, said that his party's conclusions were based on recent judicial discoveries and a re-elaboration of information that had been available for many years but that had not been adequately understood. In other words, it had been brushed under the rug. Quote, they interfered to prevent the Communist Party from achieving power. Now, this is a report that was written about by Philip Willan, the Rome reporter for The Guardian, and this article was June 24th, 2000. 2000. And Philip Willem is an important person.
Willem. You're quite right.
W-I-L-L-A-N.
Yes, you're right.
He is the author of Puppet Masters, The Political Use of Terrorism in Italy, that was published in 1991 and goes into elaborate detail in 358 pages of these events. Ralph?
Well, Mayo, you're quite right to point out the significance of what became known as Operation Gladio. I should mention this. During the Second World War, Franklin Roosevelt made an arrangement with the head of the mafia in the United States, who was released from prison in order for him to control the docks in the United States to prevent labor strikes. But not only that, the head of the mafia in the United States,
Lucky Luciano,
no less, was directed to control operations in Sicily and Italy on behalf of U.S. intelligence, directed against the resistance in Italy and in closet support of the fascists who were to be restored after the defeat of Mussolini, paradoxically. And the operations of the mafia across Sicily and across Italy were part of a U.S. intelligence design, which was then to morph into Operation Gladio at the time of the formation of the Central Intelligence Agency. Terrorist attacks imputed to others were orchestrated across Italy from that moment to the present with the purpose of disrupting any possibility of a left political development in Italy, the two mass parties in Italy being the Communist Party and the Socialist Party, the anticipation of the United States that a coalition government representing the vast majority of workers and of the population in Italy would assume power. Philip Willen in The Guardian on April 10, 1999. Spies working for the Italian secret services infiltrated the Red Brigades and masterminded the kidnapping and murder of the former Prime Minister Aldo Moro in 1970. Alberto Fassini, who spent 18 years in prison for his supposed role in a left-wing terrorist organization, revealed that, in fact, this was the he was used and manipulated by the intelligence services of the United States and of the Italian intelligence services themselves. Mr. Francini's evidence disclosed that Italian and United States secret services infiltrated and penetrated the Red Brigades to prevent Moro from establishing a government of national unity. Indeed, they undertook not only bombings across Italy, but the kidnapping of Mr. And the murder of Mr. Moro himself.
Ralph, another article by Philip Willen. We're going to be citing Philip Willen a great deal, but there are other people too that we also will as we go into Operation Gladio. His article of March 26, 2001, Terrorists, quote, helped by CIA to stop the rise of the left in Italy. And this is an allegation, actually, more than an allegation. It's conclusion by General Gianna Delio Maletti. And he should know, because between 1971 and 1975, General Maletti was the head of military counterintelligence in Italy. And he states, quote, the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, following the directives of its government, the United States, created an Italian nationalism capable of halting what it saw as a slide to the left. And for this purpose, it made use of right-wing terrorism, and he said this happened in other countries as well. Now, General Maletti is living in South Africa for the last 21 years as a fugitive from Italian justice because he was sentenced in absentia to 14 years for leaking a Secret Service document to the press, and Secret Service documents that would have exposed the involvement of CIA and Italian intelligence. But he was given a 15-day immunity from arrest so he could give evidence at a very famous bombing. It took a trial of people finally put on trial for the bombing of a bank in Milan's Piazza Fontana. And this is one of the major bombings that created the, quote, strategy of tension. It was a series of bombings that pushed Italy to the right at a time when the Communist Party was achieving at least 25% of the vote, and with a collaboration with the Socialist Party, would have achieved power in Italy.
Maya, Philip Willen in The Guardian on February 6, 2000. The bomb trial to call Bush Sr. Former United States President George Bush will be called to give evidence at a terrorism trial beginning in Milan today. On the basis of evidence, the Central Intelligence Agency organized the bombing campaign in Italy over a period of 30 years. Mr. Bush was the director of Central Intelligence in 1976, and lawyers are expected to summon all CIA heads from 1960 to the present. The suspects accused of planning the bombs in Piazza Fontana branch of Banco Nazionale d'Agricoltura were doing this on behalf of intelligence agencies overseen by the CIA in the United States. Carlo Miramaggi, doctor and leader of the neo-fascist Ordine Nuovo and leader of the Finis, was doing this on behalf of Carlo Di Giglio, the CIA operative in Italy. The activities had begun in 1967 when the Central Intelligence Agency oversaw the pattern of bombings across Italy in every major political center. Quote, the bombs we planted in Trieste and Gorizia served to prevent President Saragat from making a visit to Tito. This was on behalf of the Central Intelligence Agency. American agents were responsible for promoting the strategy of tension and intervened directly with Central Intelligence Agency oversight of terror bombings across Italy from that time on. Philip Willen concludes in The Guardian, U.S. supported anti-left terror in Italy is the story of June 24, 2000, a 300-page report which elaborates, as you indicated, the full magnitude of the false flag operation over a period of nearly four decades by the CIA across Italy.
Ralph, Operation Gladio was the name for the Italian branch of the Allied Coordination Committee that had been set up by the CIA with the British in the 1950s. They had 622 leaders who then engaged other people so that there were 15,000 people throughout Italy. Now, this is interesting because Depka talking about 25,000 to 30,000 people in France for Al-Qaeda. Let's look back at what the CIA and British intelligence and Italian intelligence, and along with Belgium intelligence and German intelligence, what they were all doing post-World War II. And how we have Depka talking about this in terms of Al-Qaeda. But here it was, setting them up with right-wing groups and blaming it also on left-wing groups and setting up infiltrating groups like the Red Brigades. And all this was the work of intelligence. Let's look again at the bombing in, at the Bologna railway station, because here we have, over 24 years ago, the same situation as you have in Madrid. And quote, this is an article from February 8, 1980, that appeared in one of the British newspapers in the, this was the Independent. The makings of the bomb, which killed 85 people at the Bologna railway station in 1980, came from an arsenal used by Gladio, the Italian wing of NATO's communist resistance network, according to a parliamentary commission on terrorism. Remember, the arsenal came from Gladio. Now, what's also interesting to look at about this is that when the people went on trial, the neo-fascists, the four neo-fascists who were sentenced to life for the Bologna bombing, Valerio Fivorotti, his wife Francesca Mambro, Massimiliano Facchini, and Sergio Piafucco, and nine other people were accused of complicity in the crime. And Licio Gelli, the ex-grandmaster of the P2 Masonic Lodge, which was also very much involved in this, they were given sentences, yet a few years later, 7 years later, for some reason not explained, on appeal, their convictions were all overturned.
Maya, The Political Use of Terrorism in Italy is the title of a review by Peter Drew of Philip Willen's book. Philip Willen's book is entitled USA Bombs Europe into Submission. Now we must put this in its context, because as was stated by Marek Glagoszowski, on March 11th, 200 people were killed at Madrid in a bomb attack that closely resembled the bombing of Bologna rail station in Italy over 20 years ago, at which time 83 persons were killed. And now we have the documented evidence from Operation Gladio, articulated in the book USA Bombs Europe into Submission, that this was an operation over a period of decades in which the United States Intelligence Agency took charge of terror attacks across Europe, imputing them to other political groups.
Ralph, USA Bombs Europe into Submission is an article that appeared in Perspectives in 1993. Again, let's refer to Philip Willen's book. It's entitled The Puppet Masters, The Political Use of Terrorism in Italy. Ralph?
Yes.
To conclude our program for today?
Maya, Nicholas Kristof, on the 10th of March, this is in the New York Times, a nuclear 9/11, a 10-kiloton nuclear bomb is smuggled into Manhattan and explodes at Grand Central Station. 500,000 people are killed, and the U.S. suffers $1 trillion in direct economic damage. That scenario, cited in a report at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, is a glimpse of our future. We are losing the war. Andrew F. Krepinevich, Jr., military expert of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment, states, all the risks of a nuclear 9/11 are increasing with Al-Qaeda at their fount. And the same theme is orchestrated in the newspapers, an article after article, for which we are being prepared. Indeed, the 26th of November of 2001, high alert, U.S. threatened with nukes, in which Anthony Kimmery, on behalf of intelligence, stated that dozens of top security military and intelligence officials have come to the conclusion that a nuclear attack on New York City with biological components as well is inevitable. All of this imputed to Al-Qaeda. U.S. terror expert warns of dirty bombs once again. This in Associated Press of February 8, 2004. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Bin Laden, the dirty bombs, the nuclear bombs prepared for by attacks in Europe, from DEBCA to the Central Intelligence Agency to the imputation to Mohammed Atta, to Zarqas, to Zugan, the figures who have been under surveillance in Madrid not only since 9/11/2001 and not only since the Casablanca bombings in May 18, 2003, but throughout the intervening time, now being held responsible for the acts of Madrid, the masquerade, Operation Masquerade in Madrid, the false flag operation, the terrorizing of the peoples of the world by the rulers of corporate capital, working out the agenda that Operation Gladio had documented for us over a period of 40 years.
You've been listening to Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Operation Masquerade, the bombings in Madrid, will be available on our internet site, www.takingaim.com. info. Also, we have CD and audio tape copies available. Contact us at 707-552-9995 or at takingaim@wbai.org, or write to us at Taking Aim, Post Office Box 6345, Vallejo, that's V-A-L-L-E-J-O, California 94591. We'll be with you next week.
and Taking Aim was brought to you on recording over 99.5 listener-supported commercial-free WBAI New York.